What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. I want to give first a quick apology to anyone that was trying to watch last week's podcast live. I tried running the show. It didn't work out so well. I'm a scrub. I am less than human and just not as talented as my good friend and co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Welcome back, Carter. How is Australia?
Music to my ears to know that this operation just couldn't run without me. thank you for covering in my set. Australia was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
It was winter there, so it's a little chilly, little windy at times, but also very, very, very pretty. And I'm real fucking tired.
What was everything backwards in Australia? Like, in Australia, did Danny Ainge do a good job building a contender?
No, he didn't do it well there either. That's actually the one thing that's universal. people don't know that, but that's actually the case. So, yeah, it's looking pretty ugly over there in Boston. Where do you want to get started tonight? We didn't plan this at all.
So here's where I want to get started. So for me, I want to get first your reaction on the Kevin Durant injury, because I think I don't want to spend too much time talking about the finals because we spent the last two podcasts doing that. I really do want to get into some draft stuff. But Kevin Durant, that's just one of those situations where I just feel like it impacts the whole league. Like, I feel like it's overshadowed this finals. I think it's overshadowed free agency. It's just such a huge deal. And I know you were on a flight during the finals, right? During that game. Well, yeah, how did you kind of react to that situation?
Yeah. So one thing that I think is like really important to note is that it's not as simple. And it's like the take that I wish I'd seen, but haven't for some reason. It's like, because obviously there's not much value in playing Twitter doctor at this point.
Sure.
Like, we don't know how this works. Mm-hmm. And even if you do, we don't, even the people that do, they're not examining Kevin Durant. They don't have the medicals. But the angle that I think has been under-discussed, which is kind of hard to fathom with an angle this over-discussed.
Mm-hmm.
But the angle that I think has been the most frustrating to me is like, the Warriors let this narrative build.
Yeah. Yeah. I can kind of see that.
Like they let leaks get out. They let reporters kind of become more and more aware of the growing frustrations internally. Like, hey, when's he coming back? When's he coming back? Is he coming back? And like that frustration got out. I mean, it wasn't just local guys. It was guys like Zach Lowe who, it was Windy and Zach Lowe, but Windhorst is a perpetual shit stirrer in the most affectionate of terms.
Whereas Zach Lowe, typically he kind of plays politician a lot of times.
Yeah, so Lowe wouldn't speculate like that. So, it's clear that this was a sentiment within the organization, and I'm just kind of disappointed in them for not squashing it. You know, like I kind of would have imagined that Bob Myers or Steve Kerr would have come out with a strong statement even before Durant was cleared to return to kind of say something along the lines of, listen, like that's not what our organization stands for. And if you're feeling that way, then, you know, screw off. Like that's not what we do. And instead they just sort of let it sit. And then they cleared Durant to come back and, oh, can you fucking believe it? He got hurt. And now I don't really believe you when you're that upset. And I'm sure they're sad. I'm sure they feel bad. But, you know, I don't feel like they've been a particularly good ally to Kevin Durant here. And you know how I feel about Kevin Durant. I'm not that geek to defend him.
Yeah, I know. To me, honestly, I just got so bummed out. And I think I lashed out. I'm happy I didn't lash out publicly because I was really upset at Toronto fans, which I mean, I hate Toronto fans to begin with. Sure. But just the emotion of seeing Kevin Durant go down, and when you see the Achilles roll up on the back of the leg, you know, okay, he just ruptured his Achilles. This sucks.
Right away.
And to me, I'm like, he's going to be 31 this summer. He's going to be 32 before he plays basketball again in the NBA. It's going to take another year. We probably just saw the end of the prime of maybe, you know, I think it's defensible to say he's the second best small forward all time. Like, I think you can at least make a case for that. At least he's someone that I hold in that type of a regard. So it just sucks to see the end of his prime. And then immediately, because I'm me, I went to the selfish place where I'm like, oh God, now that he's not playing for the Knicks next year, they're not going to be in win now mode. They're likely not trying to trade for Anthony Davis because he's just going to walk after a year if KD's not playing with them. And this basically just killed my dreams of RJ Barrett. And that's where I go. I suck. Well, like that's what I do.
You go to a selfish place, if I'm being honest. The thing is, like, if this does anything for anyone, it's just more evidence in a sea of consistent evidence that team building is much more art than science, and it's much more luck than skill most of the time. Like, yeah, like it's important to have a good organization and you know, a good and a smart scouting staff and make good choices and all that stuff. But like, ultimately, if like the Knicks were sure they were getting Kevin Durant all year, and they built their team, they made transactions built around that reality, and then all of a sudden, Ben from Real Cast Fans just said in the chat, looking like a fighter pilot with that big ass headset, David Blatt would be proud.
Yeah. For those listening, Carter looks like an idiot. He's got his mic up above his head. He's just a goofball talking. You look exactly like the Blog Boys Kevin Durant pictures. And my God.
And here I am defending him.
And here you are defending him.
I don't know, man. You just look at all these teams that whose big strategies have kind of exploded on themselves out of nowhere. You know, the Knicks should have been able to sign Kevin Durant and maybe a Kemba or a Kyrie or a Jimmy. And now maybe none of those guys want to go there. If they have to wait a whole year on Kevin Durant, especially the older marquee free agents like a Kemba, it's like, well, he can't just burn a year dicking around in New York.
No. Instead, he's going to burn your dicking around in Charlotte.
But like, at least that's like, you know, that's status quo. Like, you're not going to change your uproot your whole life in pursuit of winning and then punt on a year. You know, it's like he'd be going to New York to play with KD to try to win a championship or at least be a consistent contender. And it just doesn't feel like that's happening anymore. Really, the only team where Durant makes sense in the short term is the Nets, because they can't afford to wait. They've got a young star in Kyrie probably coming. They've got a young core. Like, they can just have fun and compete for a year and while they wait for him to get back.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, even if KD's only 80%, he's still probably the best player in Knicks franchise history. He's really goddamn good, and his skill set probably is going to translate well to losing some athleticism. The other thing, man, I feel from him just from like a psychological standpoint, because that's such a tough thing when you're right on the cusp of kind of the next chapter in your career. And also a guy that, as much as we have criticized him in the past and people have called him kind of soft or that he cares too much about what other people think, a year off for that guy where he's on social media, like that's going to be tough.
That's mean-spirited.
It's not mean-spirited. I legitimately actually feel for him, because I think being on the basketball court is the one place where he's truly comfortable, and for him to not have that, I think is rather unfortunate.
Yeah, and this is why, and I'm sorry to go back to it, but I'm still pissed about it, is like, this is why I'm like annoyed that the Warriors aren't catching more flack for allowing this narrative of like, basically they let the narrative become, they kind of think Durant's being a pussy. Like, they let that be the narrative. Mm-hmm. And like, for a guy that, like, for all we've criticized him for, and boy, do I love making fun of Kevin Durant, just like everyone else on Twitter. like, no one's ever doubted like his commitment to playing basketball at a high level. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I know that he wanted to go out there. But you kind of can't tell me that it didn't, for a guy that we know is this affected by outside noise, that it didn't bother him to hear that.
It definitely drove him. But I think to some extent, this was still his decision. I think regardless of what they said, unless they actually ruled him out, I think he would have been on the court there. And this is probably an unpopular take amongst our base here, but I have actually gained some respect for Durant and the Warriors with the way that they're losing in the series. Like, I think you learn a little bit more about a team when they're losing than when they're winning. I mean, we know that Steph's a front runner, and when they're up 20, that's when he's going to hit a lot of his shots. He's going to do his little shimmy.
What part of this is unpopular with our base?
Well, no, the part that I think might be unpopular is that I have gained some respect with them actually grinding out some games. Like, I think this, the fact that with five trips to the finals, they still really want it in a situation where I think it would be really easy to roll over, because with what they have left, they're just less talented than Toronto. And I think at this point, the Warriors can't beat Toronto. Toronto can only beat themselves. I think that it's impressive to see them go out in this way. I think it shows some character, and it shows a level of toughness that I didn't really, I assume that they have, but they just never really had a chance where we've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Wanted to quickly reference the chat real quick. Omega Supreme, I believe that's Mike from our Discord, just asked if Bob Myers' tears were real or fake.
Crocodile tears. Actually, hang on. I want to cut you off before I forget. Stan Van Gundy had such a good point, because he was talking about when coaches always get judged on the result, and that they'll get fired. Even if you had a good process, if it's a catastrophic result, the coach gets fired. But Bob Myers is like, oh, well, nobody's really to blame here. You know, with all the doctors cleared them, all the steps, we thought that we had a good decision. The process was good. It was just a bad result. No one's here to blame. If you have to blame anyone, blame me. I'm running the team. He's like, that's a bit of a double standard for coaches. And I thought that was an interesting point then. Where a lot of people are kind of parroting the same takes with KD, it was refreshing to see a new one.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Van Gundy brothers have never stood up for the coaching fraternity before.
Oh, that was the other thing. He said Nick Nurse's timeout was dumb. That is an all-time take.
That's actually surprising. You know, I think that with regards to Myers, you know, you don't have to be he doesn't have to be faking it to be wrong. You know, like, I believe he's sad and sorry. I think he feels badly for Kevin Durant. And, you know, I think he probably was emotional, because you know what tends to come to bring big emotions out, Justin?
What?
Guilt. And I think they handled this poorly. And I think
as someone that's never felt guilt, I'm going to have to take your word for that one.
Yeah, well, you know, that's life. I don't know, man. I just think they didn't support him when it would have been kind of easy to, even if only in lip service. Like, they didn't even bother that. Like, I think, you know, you and I don't know that much, but we're plugged in enough to know Kevin Durant hasn't been that easy to be around this year. And, you know,
I think anybody that follows basketball is not that more than a casual amount would agree with that.
Yeah, so to that end, like, you know, I get why there would be some like frustration with Durant lingering, that, you know, it's not right, but it makes sense that it would be a thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just at least do the lip service. It's not that hard. So I'm disappointed with the Warriors. Obviously, this game is starting in 45 minutes, so we're not going to jump too far into the preview. But yeah, I just think it was a total mishandling.
Yeah, my preview is that I don't think the Raptors can, or I don't think the Warriors can win this series. I think the Raptors can only lose it. So it'll be interesting to see if they get a all-time case of lemon booty. Moving on, did you agree with my assessment or my read of the situation where KD going down basically just killed all of my hopes and dreams for getting RJ?
No, I just think that your hopes and dreams were already dead.
I know. I was trying to speak it into existence.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, I guess it's possible if someone trades up and around and some weird shit like that. I mean, there is a world. That's actually the only world where the Knicks kind of come out winners here. Is so they sign Durant. They have another max slot. Maybe they sign a Kemba. And they find a way. Maybe it's just out of some David Griffin spite. Love you, Griff. Where they can find a way to get Anthony Davis despite not really having the best package on the table.
Right.
I think that that's the way that New York comes out a winner here, is they find a way to send out three. They trade for AD. They've already picked up a Kemba or an equivalent player. and you can kind of tread water while you wait for Durant to come back, and you're not just wasting a year.
Yeah, I still think they're going to sign. I think they're going to max KD. I still think he's going to end up there. I do think Brooklyn became a more realistic scenario with this injury as well. I do think, though, that they're likely just going to take RJ. They'll keep him. And I think RJ's value is never going to be lower than it is right now, pre-draft. I think he's going to have a strong rookie season. They'll be in a good position moving forward, even if they are just kind of waiting out KD for another year. The one interesting thing, the other development that I think ties in very, very strongly to the draft is Kemba Walker saying that he'd be willing to take less than the Supermax to stay in Charlotte. He said that as to help the team kind of add talent around him. He wants to win there. He's committed to team building. Now, Kemba taking less than the Supermax doesn't get them any cap space. It doesn't help them at all. But it does put them in a position where if they got rid of that Nick Batum contract, all of a sudden they're going to be able to add that cap space. So
wouldn't you have liked to have like seen a blogger try to like mansplain the CBA to Kemba when he said that?
that would be absolutely fantastic.
Actually, did you know that you'd only be able to use the mid-level exception up through 2022, Kemba?
So that became a realistic option. And the other thing is, unfortunately, this answer isn't going to come before free agency, but I think if KD actually opted in, which I don't think would make any sense because there are going to be max offers available, if he opted in, I think all of a sudden that would kind of motivate Miami to clear more cap space, because I still think that they want to get into the whale hunting. They want to go out and get that type of free agent. But I think Kemba being willing to take less and wanting to build there all of a sudden really motivates Charlotte to move that pick. And I think that's the type of situation where you don't even need to use the JR contract. Like, you can move Jordan Clarkson and let's say John Henson, for example, for Nick Batum and 12, and you're not giving up 26. You're not giving up the JR contract. It still kind of leaves you with some bullets in the chamber to make other moves. And I think now that Kemba's kind of sent that single, I think they got to go all in on trying to explore that option.
I think I got to buzzkill you here for a minute. You know how I think we talked about this like last year, maybe last offseason, about the Celtics' kind of lack of willingness to put premium pieces into trade packages. Mm-hmm. And I kind of talked about how, you know, if you're a billionaire and you're looking to buy a house, and the person who you're buying the house from knows you're a billionaire, they're not going to give you a great deal, right?
Okay.
Like, you have a lot of, you can afford more. And I think that's going to be the case with any deal the Cavs try to make, not including the JR contract. Like, if you go to the Hornets and say, hey, we'll give you Tristan and, a couple other expiring. So you're like, well, why not just JR?
Okay. Yeah, no, I get that. If it does take JR, I'm 100% fine with that. But it would take more than just JR to get it done.
You'd have to throw in a lot of money.
Yeah, so if you're unloading J.R. Smith and Jordan Clarkson and you're getting Nick Batum back and 12, that's fine. You don't have to give up 26, which is good.
I'm pretty at the point where, given the return that Atlanta got for taking on that bad Allen Crabbe contract,
yeah,
I'm functionally at the point where if they had to give up 26 to buy a mid-first draft pick, that'll be a disappointment.
I think that's a really valid point. Now, the one thing with that is I'm still a believer in Prince. Like, I think that's a really, yeah, really good value addition for Brooklyn. So it's hard to separate his value or at least his value in the trade market from that deal. But I do agree that I think that trade sets a really good precedent. And I think my theory, and, you know, I'm always the Cavs optimist here, but my theory is that the Cavs probably were approached by Brooklyn, but felt that they could get a better offer or they could get a better deal done on trade deadline. This is actually probably a good time as well to say we will be doing a live pod during the draft. So we will be finding out if I'm right, if I'm wrong. No, no matter what. I mean, even worst case scenario,
you that enjoy us being miserable during the draft lottery.
Well, no, even if nothing happens and we stay put, we still have two first round picks. It's still going to be an interesting night, but I think there's going to be some trades. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to be a real dick about it. And I'm sure you're going to rub it in. So
yeah, I'll just be bitter. We're just going to spend a lot of, if I got a theory, it's that we're going to be just going, man,
I can't believe we got RJ Barrett and Brandon Clark. RJ and Clark. What a draft. Yeah, what a draft.
Here's a question regarding that. And of course, guys, please tune in to the live draft show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Second screen us. But my question with regards to that is, if the Cavs do make a trade, to me, it feels like it's definitely happening on draft night. I do not think they'll be making a move ahead of time. What are your thoughts on that?
So in general, I agree. I do think the AD trade is the one wild card there, just because Kobe and Griff do have a very good relationship and they need a third or fourth team to get this deal done, because they're just not happy with the options one-on-one, and because the Pelicans want to get a deal done before the draft so that they have the opportunity to work out other guys. I think that's the one thing that could kind of change things, especially if, let's say, it's a deal with Miami where you're moving up to 13. That deal might need to be in place before a team like the Lakers can pitch the Cavs as a third team. Like, you need to have these multiple pieces kind of, the wheels already need to be in motion pretty much. So I think there's a chance it gets done before, but I think in all likelihood, it's going to happen on draft night, which is why I'm so excited to have the live broadcast going.
Yeah, I think it just makes sense, you know, because the Cavs are likely going to have, they're going to have some options, right? Mm-hmm. They're gonna have multiple teams looking to trade for that JR pick. Now, they're giving up, I'm not sure, but you know, you could conceivably look through that draft order and find a willing trade partner pretty up and down the middle of the
There's a lot of options. I think there's going to be a bidding war to some extent.
Yep, Hornets have bad money. Heat have bad money. Pistons have bad money. Magic, I think, are mostly clean at this point. But you know, like the Pacers, maybe they've got. Actually, no, they're clean too. But the point is, there are spots.
I think the Pacers they're fairly clean. I could see the Magic. They still have Biombo, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like, point is, there are some spots where you can kind of survey the board and say,
Biombo's back in Charlotte. Good God.
Oh, he is. They traded for Mozgov, I think,
yeah,
or something weird like that. Point is, you know, they're going to want to see who's left on the board. You know, maybe you're less inclined to pull the trigger on a deal for a first-round pick this year if you only think Brandon Clark is really worth having in that 12-13 range and you're not interested in the other guys, then you say, hey, we'll look towards future assets instead, maybe a 2020 pick or a 2021 pick.
No, there's enough guys there. Like, there's 15 prospects that I'm at least intrigued in. What are we going to do with our boy NAW? Because SGA works, and are we just going to call him Nah? What are we doing there if we draft him?
I'm going to call him, who the fuck is that? Because I haven't watched a second of that guy.
Nikhil Alexander Walker, another Canadian.
I just don't know what he plays like.
He's kind of like a Culver-ish.
Yeah, I will say, man, the more I've thought about it, thanks, Tom. I am a draft expert. The more I've thought about it, really, the idea of trading down with the Hawks for 8 and 10 is sounding a lot more appealing to me.
No, it's appealing. I just don't think the Hawks are going to offer that. Like, I think they're going to offer 8 and 17, maybe a second round pick in there as well, which immediately becomes less attractive.
Yeah. I mean, that is significantly worse, and probably not worth it. Mm-hmm. But like, if I can find a good trade down value, like, the more I'm just thinking about, like, maybe I'm just getting the draft willies, but like, it just feels like Culver is not as...
It feels like he's going to turn more into a Jaylen Brown than a Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It just feels like the downside is not that or the downside is kind of low, actually. Like, I just feel like these are the kinds of guys we lie to ourselves about a little bit. Like, I remember Evan Turner was like considered like this kind of like, hey, he'll create, and he's not that great of an athlete, but he's a pretty good athlete. And then like, I'm just worried that that's Culver, you know, is like a guy who seems like a high floor guy because he's just not flashy. But sometimes those guys aren't that good either.
Yeah, no, it definitely depends on how you feel about Culver. And I've seen a lot of smart people that are a lot lower than we are. I should clarify, a lot lower than Trevor is, because we're just aggregating our opinions from Trevor. And
that's fair.
I think for us to have strong opinions probably isn't smart. But I think it's normal to get the pre-draft Willies. It's there's a lot of pieces in motion, and
we really got to get Trevor on this show.
We really do. We really, really do. And that might be a post-draft
thing. Exposed, bro.
I can bullshit my way through it. But there's going to be a lot of moving parts. There's going to be a lot of pieces in motion. And whenever you're moving anything and shipping anything, you want to make sure that you are using the best service possible. When you're selling online, getting your orders out can be a real pain. That's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders. No matter what you're selling, where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, or your own website, ShipStation brings all of your orders into one simple interface.
Wow.
ShipStation helps you get your orders out quickly, save money on shipping costs, and keep your customers happy. And right now, Blue Wire listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days when you use promo code BLUE. There's absolutely no risk. You can start your free trial without even entering in your credit card information, which is great when you have terrible, terrible credit like Carter. ShipStation works with all the major carriers, including the U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, and UPS, even Amazon Fulfillment. So you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in BLUE. That's ShipStation.com, then enter promo code BLUE. ShipStation.com. Make ship happen.
I love that tagline, but if I like one thing in any podcast ad read, this, Justin.
What's that?
When they tell me there's no risk. What offers have a lot of risk?
There's a lot of risky offers. I mean, especially for you. Like, there's so many gambling advertisers out
That's
there.
That's actually very true. There's a lot of risk.
Yeah, risk, exactly. You get hooked. You're like, just dangling the bait out there. You know what there isn't a lot of risk with, Carter?
Harry's Razors, because I'm taking this one, Justin, because we've got an announcement to make. Blue Wire is teaming up with Harry's to make sure our listeners are shaving comfortably. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to save $10 on a value trial set, which includes, Justin, a 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover, and you just get all that for just $3. That's just the cost of shipping, Justin.
Enough. God damn.
With the cheap razors. Just got another set shipped to me. I got to be honest, I probably got to turn down my shipping interval because I just doubled up on literally everything. that was a misplay by me, but your guys are smarter than me. Harry's has fixed shaving by combining a simple, clean design with quality and durable blades at a fair price. Harry's founders were tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and over-designed. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany. Love those blade factories. They've been making quality blades for over 95 years. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your trial offer, just like Justin and I did, by going to harrys.com/bluewire. And Justin, I swear to God, I hope you use the link.
Of course I use the link. You gotta support Blue Wire, doing great things. Also, make sure, I know we have a lot of Browns fans that are listening to us, make sure you're searching Blue Wire, because there's a lot of good Browns podcasts or whatever your team is. We got options for you. Carter, I want to get some of your feedback here on our latest coaching hire. I thought it was a really, really interesting hire. The biggest thing for me was when I saw the last name, I really, really, really worried that Lindsey Gottlieb was related to Doug Gottlieb, which
Dude, same thought.
You can breathe easily. She is not related. It is very, very, very good news that she's not related, because that would have pushed me over the edge.
I was concerned as well and very relieved.
Other coaching news. Our boy, Mike Longobardi, not unlikely to return with the team. Same with James Posey. Our other boy, Mike Geraghty, is staying with the Cavs. For those that don't know, he is the one that played kind of a pivotal role in remaking the shot of Colin Sexton as well as Jetty Osman. And with a lot of prospects at the top of this draft needing some work on their jumper, I think retaining him is really, really important.
Yeah, it's really shaping up to be an interesting coaching staff as every non-Cavs fan leaves the chat. you know, I think the hiring of Lindsey Gottlieb was a really cool decision, and clearly something they've been sitting on for a while. You know, this is something that, you know, that a person that Kobe Altman's had his eye on for a while. While she was coaching at Cal, clearly was a fan, you know, was connected to the NBA, which I think is always really valuable. You know, because obviously you're going to have morons questioning her credentials and all that stuff. But, you know, she was a frequent guest at Warriors practices while she was at Cal. Yep. Like this is a basketball mind who people respect.
Right.
You know, I think that it's a good hire. But if I have one concern early on with this coaching staff, Justin, I haven't seen a lot of hires for Coach Beilein. It is a little odd that Kobe Altman's sort of filling out his staff for him.
I think that's a fair criticism. I think the other thing is just with Beilein and Gottlieb, you just don't have a lot of NBA experience there. Now, that's not something that concerns me too much. I do think Altman at least playing a role in selecting the candidates is somewhat important, because Beilein just doesn't have those NBA connections. So you kind of need someone to help him navigate that. And
I don't get the impression this is like a toxic situation either, just to be clear. Like, it's not like a Tyronn Lue, who everyone kind of, all the players clearly wanted to be coached right behind the head coach. Like,
right. And I think that was a situation that would work without the pressure cooker of LeBron. Like, I at least would have had a better chance. I do think the one thing that is encouraging is we saw Beilein kind of talk about Kobe Altman, and everyone kind of cut the screen grab right before this sentence, but he was talking about just how smart Kobe Altman is and how progressive he is and just how forward-thinking the Cavs front office is and how much trust he has in that. And the fact that Beilein is open to new ideas and a lot of different voices and different perspectives, I think is encouraging, because that was one of the things that people were kind of, they kind of had some trepidation around. And the one thing, like with a lot of these hires, I don't know what they're specifically going to bring to the table. Like, I don't know how the roles are going to be delegated. I don't think we know a lot about the roles of current coaches in the NBA. Forget first time people in that position.
Yep. This is a Ryan Morton special. Like, Mort has always on team, like, don't fucking talk about coaches, because none of us know what the hell we're talking about anyway.
Right. But just to share an anecdote, back when I was coaching high school basketball, I remember we were on a road trip and there was a WNBA game on. I think it was either WNBA or women's college basketball. But I was pointing out to the kids on the team that it's actually really, really instructive to watch that level of basketball, because there's less. I see you laughing, Carter. But no, it's instructive to watch that level of basketball, because you have it, and this is stereotyping to some extent, but there is less athleticism with the women's game, so they're more fundamentally sound. You do see a lot of really sound play structure. You watch what people are doing off ball, and there's always constant movement. It's really good, especially for high school kids to watch. I think there's value in that. So for a Cavs team that's probably going to have to make do with not having as much talent as other teams, having a guy that's maximized his roster and his recruits in college, and having Lindsey Gottlieb there that knows how to maximize the talent that she had, I do think that those are valuable perspectives to have.
Let me be clear. I'm laughing because of our chat roasting you, calling you Coach Justin. Out with Justin.
See, here's the thing. I almost never bring that up because of how annoying a lot of people that
you
do
build a brand without me, bro. It's over. Oh, I gotta find a new co-host.
Scout with Justin time. Yeah. Here we go.
Hashtag Scout Justin. Yeah, I'm bummed that I was laughing at that point because it just made me look like a misogynist, which is not what I was going for. Yeah, I don't know. I think you're right. I think you are onto something here from the perspective of, like, this is all of a sudden looking like the kind of staff that can maximize some talent here and there and actually kind of figure out how to make do without the best. Like, that wasn't something the Cavs were that good at last year. You know, they tried hard, but they were still structurally built around – you know, like some of their outdated sets, like they were running the same play with LeBron at the elbow that they ran, but except Jetty was running it. like that's not what they're going to do this year. And ideally this coaching staff is looking very well placed to actually put people in the right spots to succeed. And pour one out for Coach Longo.
I want to clarify because we have shit on him a lot. So what I do, I was opining about the greatness of Kevin Durant there after he was injured. I'm going to do the same thing with Longo not being retained. I do think it was just a poor fit. I mean, the Cavs obviously didn't have great roster personnel, but I don't think that he's someone that can't coach. He has had success in the past. It just was not a good fit, and I'm happy to see some fresh voices in there. I think JB Bickerstaff has had a good history coaching defense, and I'm excited to see what he can do there. We don't know if it's going to be compartmentalized in the same way that it was under the old regime, but it'll be interesting to see how things go.
I'd just like to shout out Shane in the chat for saying, I love watching live because you can see when Justin isn't listening to Carter. and you know what, Shane? I couldn't agree more because, you know, when we record our podcast pre-Twitch era, we very rarely had our cameras on. So yeah. I also couldn't tell when Justin was ignoring me until like 2 weeks later. I would reference a conversation, a point I made, and Justin wouldn't remember it. So
I mean, that's still going to happen now. Even if you reference this very conversation where I'm responding to something, I'm not going to remember it.
Yeah, it's just nice to have the direct feedback, ultimately.
It keeps me accountable. That's the main thing.
Yes, it does. And I'm proud of you. You're doing so well. Burak, boys, first time watching live. And let me tell you, I did not tune in for Longo apologism. I will note thank you, Burak, for watching because he's in Turkey, guys, which is it's not a great time for him, must be said, time zone-wise. But yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, it's nice to say that, you know, Longo might find success elsewhere, and maybe he will, but ultimately I'm not going to miss him on this team. You know, this is a team that admittedly had bad personnel, but
the schemes were awful.
It was always worse than the sum of its parts. Like, guys who – it actually made me, like, unconfident in my ability to it made me unconfident in my ability to like actually evaluate who could defend on this team and who couldn't.
Because
it was like, well, I mean, they're just in, it's just nonsense all the time. So like, I had a really hard time figuring it out. And, you know, I just hope that they can kind of instill some kind of defensive identity and offensive identity, you know, like for better or worse, this is a team whose identity revolved around LeBron James for the last 5 years. So we haven't actually gotten to see a cool, fun, try-hard offense in a long time. Or a try-hard defense, like that, you know, like a team that was just greater than the sum of their parts. That's like the thing I'm kind of idealizing when I'm trying to look forward to this rebuild, is like, we're going to get to experience some good stuff if they do this right. It's just a matter of them making the right calls. And more and more and more, it feels like Kobe Altman might be the guy for that job. You know, I hate doing this because I remember singing Chris Grant's praises over and over and over again. Like, we are in the easy part of the rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
To convert bad contracts into assets and all that stuff. But
and here's the thing, also, and I think we've had a lot of fair criticism for Dan Gilbert, but this part of the rebuild is easy because Dan Gilbert is willing to spend even for a terrible team. He still is willing for the Cavs to take on more money now. But again, I just feel like the process is a little more sound than it was last time. I think they learn from some of the mistakes of the Chris Grant era, and they are putting some value on keeping veterans, keeping guys that are going to instill good habits. And I think that stuff is super valuable, and that differentiates what I think the better rebuilds in the league are from, like, the Sam Hinkie approach, where I think you can take some of the things that Hinkie did and some of the things that Houston did and some of the things that Toronto did and kind of find the right balance for you. But at the end of the day, you still have to acknowledge that these players are people. You have to take in personalities into account. And Kobe Altman seems to have a good understanding of managing personalities, dealing with the media. He just seems like a really savvy, smart guy. And I'm interested to see what he does with this rebuild.
Yeah, me too. Sorry, Brock. I said your name wrong. I feel bad. but yeah, I think that I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to believe in him. He's just made enough smart decisions at this point that, you know, it's kind of hard not to at least have some optimism. I mean, they couldn't have started out with a more barren cupboard other than Kevin Love, who then immediately got hurt all year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still,
and I'm gonna call for his job. Like, I'm gonna call for his head if we don't end up with RJ or Brandon Clark on draft night. But other than that, I mean, up to this point, he's been great. He's been great.
Yeah, I just think that I'm struggling because I like the decisions that are being made, but we just haven't seen any of it converted just yet. So I'm trying to hold off from like fully buying in. So I don't feel like I'm eating crow like I did with, what's his face? Chris Grant.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. And Kobe Altman, I just think his scouting reports are going to be a little more racially sensitive than Chris Grant. So I think that'll definitely help things out.
Hey, that was never confirmed.
that's actually a really, really good and fair point. All right, let's just keep it to Danny Ferry. Well, we should probably wrap things up. I think
I want to bullshit real quick now that we're at the end of the pod about what we think the game's gonna go, so people can just stop listening if they want to.
Okay. I think the Raptors are gonna win.
Dude, I just got a feeling that the Warriors are going to win this.
I would love it. I would love it.
I think we're going to game seven. I think that the Raptors let go of the string, and it's hard to pick it back up again when you do. I got a chance to watch that fourth quarter back. Thank God for DVRs.
My gut says Warriors. My head says Raptors.
My gut is overwhelming my head, as it often does. Mm-hmm. I just think the Raptors, I think this is going to seven. And honestly, I have no clue what's going to happen in the series. I think there's a real chance they blow it.
The only thing my gut overwhelms is my waistline and my belt. But I would love to see it go seven, because then it really stops a lot of those dumb kind of Raptors talks that we're starting about this being better than any of the Cavs teams. This is an elite, the best team we've ever seen.
I got a take, Justin.
Go for it.
I'm getting really frustrated with all these podcasts. Like, I just don't remember a series this weird.
Oh, like, yeah, I don't remember a series with injuries like this. What?
Or like a team like the Raptors that just like were able to like just do it. And it's like, what?
They have Kawhi Leonard, man.
Like, do you forget that Kawhi is amazing?
Yeah.
like, do you forget 2015 when the Cavs, like, someone literally is like, I can't remember anything close to this significant of an injury for a team, for one of the team's best players in the finals.
Want to hear some hating ass hating?
Yeah.
So Raptors down 0-2 to the Bucks. Then they played an entire regulation where Giannis doesn't get to the free throw line once. Not one damn time. And the Raptors have the audacity to blame the refs in some of these games and pretend that there's conspiracies against them. No, if Giannis gets a single free throw in regulation, The Bucks are winning the damn championship. The Warriors would not make it out of the second round in the Eastern Conference this year.
No,
the Warriors, as currently constructed, they might not even make it out of the first, depending on what the matchup is.
And you know, it was something funny, because another thing that really has kind of grated against me is this idea of like, hey, it's just nice to have a competitive finals again. I'm like, motherfucker. Oh,
come on.
Norman Powell and Quinn Cook and Alphonso McKinney are playing. The quality of play is... The talent level has just been absolutely pathetic in this series. Like their game three felt like a regular season game. I'm having fun with this series.
The fact that these games are competitive is an indictment on the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, anyway, I agree.
On that note, I'm disgusted. Hopefully my disgust will end tonight. Hopefully we'll get, I really hope that the Raptors win the championship and then immediately after Anthony Davis gets traded so that nobody has to talk about the Raptors. Adam Silver's just going to bury that story. But I want to thank everybody that's watching live on Twitch, everybody that's supporting us. Remember, support us. The best way to do so is by subscribing. You can do so on Twitch. You can do so on your favorite podcast app, Spotify, Apple Play. I don't even know what the Apple product is. Apple Music.
Note with subbing on Twitch, because we do have a lot of not Twitch users that are here watching with us today.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Amazon Prime, you can. Oh, there it is. There's a sub that just popped up, baby. Thanks, Ed Logan. If you have Twitch, you can and Amazon Prime, you can link that Prime account to Twitch. You have a free $5 sub that you can give out every month. So please, if you'd like to support the pod and throw us a free $5 sub, that would be just lovely.
That would be absolutely lovely. And if you want to support us the old school way, you can do so by leaving a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and cook those books. And if you want to be part of our exclusive Discord chat, you can send a screenshot of that subscription and your review to chasedownpod@gmail.com, and we will send you a link to that. So thank you all for everybody that's listening and supporting us. And if you want, I really, really suggest tuning in live to watch our draft coverage, because I think that's going to be a really fun night one way or another. So thank you guys so much. Carter, it's great podcasting with you again. And until next time, go Cavs.
Go Cavs, babes.